for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And as we always say, there's only one way to God, one pathway through to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That he who believes in him will not be condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. So that's a big thing, because people who have not believed and received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior are already condemned to not go to heaven, but to go to the other place, to hell. He said that he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe in is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, and his name is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He's the one who came to this world. He's the one who gave the ultimate sacrifice for our eternal salvation. He's the one who came and served his generation completely and perfectly according to the will of God. And in 33 and a half years, he lifted up his eyes on that cross on that glorious day and said, "It's finished." So we must remember that his sacrifice and his service is our call as Christians to sacrifice and service. Our Lord's sacrifice is always the Christian's memorial to remember the sacrifices that he made by his death, by his burial, by his resurrection. The Lord Jesus sacrificed his life for us, and we should sacrifice our lives for him and others. You know, to me, it's very difficult to deal with a selfish Christian because they don't want to sacrifice. It's all about them. They have the big I problem. What is the I problem? Me, myself, and I. And Jesus is not the center of their lives. They are. Jesus is not the starting point. They are. Memorial Day marks a day of sacrifice. Memorial Day is a day that we remember those who have paid the ultimate price in service to our nation. But we as Christians must hear again clearly the call for us to sacrifice. So I want to use and take some time today to talk about the subject that is central to the Christian belief. A topic that is really the foundation of the very belief structure that we have. And the first topic is that one of sacrifice. What are we to do to follow the Lord's example of sacrifice? I'm glad you asked that question. Well, let's examine a few scriptures in the New Testament. In 1 Peter, in the book of Peter, chapter 2, verse 5. And if you want to write these five things down to answer the question, what's my sacrifice? I'm giving it to you through the word. So number one is 1 Peter 2:5, and you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Everybody say spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Offering spiritual sacrifice, not animal sacrifices like we've read in the Old Testament. Bulls, goats, sheep, turtle doves, those kinds of things that they did under the law. But under the life of, in Christ Jesus, we offer up sacrifice. So some people exempt themselves from being a holy priesthood, but we are a kingdom of priests as his children. We are a kingdom of priests, royal priests, for that matter, but we still have the responsibilities and the righteous privilege to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? All right. So we are called up to offer spiritual sacrifice. Secondly, we see in Romans, turn to Romans with me, please. Romans chapter 12, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Everybody say living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we as Christians are called to offer up, number one, transfigured bodies. Transfigured bodies. What? What kind of bodies? Transfigured body. That means my body belongs to the Lord. My body is God's property. Amen? Hold on. My body is God's property. And so you don't you misuse or abuse God's property. You enable the Lord and you allow the Lord to use his property. How do you give glory and holiness and honor to God in your body? Well, you do the things that will bring him glory and honor in your body. You don't dishonor God in your body. You don't put things in your body and you don't do things with your body that would dishonor the Lord. I'm getting a few amens. This is a sacrifice because your flesh is selfish. Your flesh has sinful, sometimes, cravings, appetites, desires. It wants to look at things that are not good. It wants to experience and feel things that are not holy and righteous. You know, it's unfortunate. You know, we talked about it before. Some people stretch the envelope because, you know, it's dishonorable to get drunk in your body. So people start drinking and they think, well, I'm just going to drink. Well, you put yourself under the influence. In America's case, people have killed and done all kinds of crimes being under the influence of alcohol. Well, that's not honoring God in your body. Amen. Now, will alcohol take you to hell? No. Not receiving Jesus and not believing in Jesus will take you, but it'll sure cause you a lot of problems here. Amen. Obviously, we know unlawful, illegal, immoral activities in the body don't bring honor to God. Amen. So you don't cuss with your body. You don't carry on in sinful acts with your body. If the Holy Spirit tells you you need to lay off this thing, then that's saying, okay, I'm a sacrifice. So you deny your body. One time, just recently, the Lord said to me, you need to take a whole month fast off of ice cream. Now, I can talk about me. Nobody will hopefully get offended. So I had to lay down ice cream for a month. My body was screaming, but I said, shut up. You're going to be okay. You're going to still live. Somebody say, glory to God. I went 2 weeks without bacon because the Lord said, cut down on the bacon. My body said, I want bacon. And I said, shut up. You'll be all right. You're going to live. I hope y'all get the point. Praise God. Everybody say transfigured bodies. So I'm supposed to walk around daily and give honor to God in my body. But he says a living sacrifice. What does that mean? That means, Lord, I'm yours to use as you choose. I'm yours to command and control. See, when your body is out of control, then it's difficult for the Lord to take control of your life as Lord. That means he gets to tell you what to do when he's Lord. So can he tell you what to do with your body? Can he tell you you don't need to be staying up that late? Get some sleep. Discipline in your body is a big deal because it's part of your sacrifice. You stay up so late, you can't get up on time. You get up late, you don't pray. That's not honoring God in your body. Man, I had lost y'all already. Amen. You can't get up. You got to hit the snooze button five, six times. You're all sluggish because you're undisciplined in your body. You got to give God your body like they did in the Old Testament. They gave those bulls, those lambs, those sheep, those sacrifices, animal sacrifices. Every day you got to give your body as a living sacrifice to God. Say, Lord, you can use me as you choose. Lord, I'm up and I'm ready for your service. And then you just tell your body, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up. I feel good. I feel fine. Now, body, get in line. Go back to sleep. Go back to sleep. Shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up. Are y'all here this morning? Next to a selfish Christian, a sinful, carnal Christian is not good either because they're body conscious. They're body ruled. We're not supposed to be body conscious. That's what carnal means. You're body ruled. You're a meathead. Carnivorous is what the root word comes from scientifically. It means meat, carnivore. So when you're carnal, you're thinking about your body all the time. You're appealing to the senses, the cravings, the appetites of your physical body. That's why people will look at things because it gives sensation to their body. They will do things because they want the sensation of in their bodies. But we're supposed to give God a transfigured body and a transformed mind. Somebody say praise God. So that when you see things that says, hey, your body says, hey, go get that. Go eat that. Go drink that. Go do that. You say, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up. You're dead. Because I've offered you up as a sacrifice today. That means you can imagine putting yourself on an altar and it being burnt up. That means my flesh is dead. When you walk through the mall, and as the old school people used to say, you know, you see a pretty young thing. And you might recognize things that are popping out or whatever the case may be, your eyes don't go popping. You say, I'm dead. Praise God. I'm staying on here because y'all got to get this. Praise God. Somebody's pulling away here right now. Praise God. Transfigure body. Everybody say transfigure bodies. And transform minds. So every day you're supposed to sacrifice your body. What kind of sacrifice? Everybody say it with me. Living sacrifice. That means, you know, at the Memorial Day picnic or barbecue, you don't eat three plates and stuff yourself like a glutton. And then the next week, you're in the hospital or you're at the doctor's office because your blood sugar's out of control. You regulate. You legislate your body. Amen. Glory to God. I'm still on that, I guess. Hallelujah. Transform minds means what? Every day you wash your mind. How do you wash your mind? with the word, the washing of the water by the word. That means you got to exchange your thoughts, ideas, suggestions, and perspectives for God's thoughts, ideas, God's suggestions, God's concepts and perspectives. Everybody, I'm convinced either last night or this morning, you've hygiened your body. That means you at least brush your teeth, wash yourself up, took a shower, bath. Isn't that right? I don't think anybody smells. Amen. But people don't hygiene their head. They got stale thinking and stinking thinking. And if you have stale thinking and stinking thinking, you'll have stinking lives. You have to renew your mind daily. That means you have to bathe out those thoughts. Now, listen to me. According to neuroscientists, and particularly I'm getting it from Dr. Carolyn Leaf, which is medically proven, everybody thinks at least minimally 30,000 thoughts a day. Now, they fall in one category, one or two categories, legitimate thoughts or destructive thoughts. And you've got the responsibility to give God a renewed mind, a transformed mind. He said, do not be conformed, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That means you got to renovate. You got to sweep the floors of your mind. You got to clean the baseboards of your mind. You got to clean the walls and the places in your mind with the washing of the water by the word of God. Because where the mind goes, the man follows, man or woman. Amen. And if the devil can defeat you in the mind, he can defeat you in life. Amen. Thoughts control your feelings, not your circumstances. So even though you're going through a bad season or a bad situation, your thoughts determine how you're feeling. And you can kind of tell when people are feeling, looking down, looking sad, puffed up like a toad frog in an East Texas hailstorm. We're all rolling up and mad. We call it in Arkansas poking grits. My dad used to call it. He says you poke out your mouth and grit your teeth because things are tough. Well, I got to make you laugh today. Sacrifice is not always an easy subject to convey. Because people, your flesh don't like sacrifice. Your mind wants to choose to do what it wants. When the game's on, or when the good show's on, or when the good movie's playing, you want to gravitate to that. That feeds your flesh and starves your faith. Everybody say it with me. Transfigured bodies, transformed minds are living sacrifices that I must do every day. My God, look how important your devotional time with God is. If you get up and just get dressed and go, you're not going to be transformed. You're not going to offer God living sacrifices. This weekend is all about sacrifice. So I'm calling you back to our central topic of our Christian belief system, which is sacrifice. What did Christ tell us? He said, deny yourself, take up your cross daily. Cross is a emblem. It's emblematic of sacrifice. Take up your cross daily and follow me. That means to take up your cross, you got to lay down your life. And some people won't do it, lay down their chicken this weekend. Transfigure bodies, transform mind. What else? Third, Philippians. Let's turn to Philippians. Y'all getting something out of this? Philippians chapter 4, verse 14. Philippians 4:14. Nevertheless, you've done well. How can we know we did well? Look at this, that you shared in my distress. You Philippians know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For you, even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again for my necessities. Not that I desired a gift, but I seek fruit that abounds to your account. So indeed, I have all, I abound, I am full. I have received from Epaphroditus the things which you sent, a sweet-smelling aroma, that's an offering, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Everybody say acceptable sacrifice. So, you know, when people don't give, it's unacceptable. Let me put it more relevant. When Christians don't give, it's unacceptable. Because we said money tells the truth about your heart and your heart condition. When you don't think about giving, it's unacceptable. When you think about not giving, that's very unacceptable. Because giving sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, has to be done sacrificially. We often say it this way. We say your giving should be systematic, occasionally spontaneous, but indeed and for sure, on some seasons, a sacrifice. You got to say, I got to put this off what I want to buy because I have to give to the needs of the church. I have to give to the needs of the minister or the ministry. I have to give. Praise God. And it's an acceptable sacrifice. See, most people want to detach this, but they want to attach verse 19. Verse 19 says, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So then say, well, God meets all my needs. But you can't detach. It's not valid, as you read some of those labels on bottles or not valid if detached. So you can't detach sacrificial giving from God saying he's going to supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. Come on, somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. And again, you know, some people get into the technicalities of tithing, technicalities of giving. I can't afford. Well, he didn't ask you based on what you can afford. What can God afford? You should never give based on what you can afford. Are you listening to me? That's why some Christians never enter into an arena of sacrifice. They never stepped into the pool of sacrificial giving, meaning I wrote the last penny out of my checkbook. Not saying you have to do that. You have to be led by the Spirit. I'm not the one telling you to do that. So don't take that away. But sometimes there has to be a sacrifice. There has to be a setting aside of what I want to buy, what I want to get, and then doing what God wants you to give. Do what God wants you to give. Amen. And it comes as a sacrifice, but the Bible says it's an acceptable sacrifice. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Your generosity and your faithful, generous financial giving to the preaching of the gospel and the preacher are acceptable sacrifices. You know, when you give, you know, like to a minister or to a ministry, and you say, well, I wish I can give more. Well, you could have. If you wanted to sacrifice something. Because most folks have stuff that they can liquidate or they can move around. Hallelujah. Is this helping somebody? Praise God. I hope it is. Praise God. Now, fourthly, the fourth call to sacrifice, element under sacrifice, is Hebrews 13:15. Listen to this. Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So we as Christians are called to offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Not just on Sunday service or Wednesday service or Thursday prayer service, we're the call to sacrifice the prayer. Now, what does that mean? That means you don't necessarily feel anything, but you do it by faith. You offer sacrifices. Amen. You say, thank you, Lord. You say, praise you, Jesus. You say, hallelujah. You say, glory to God when you're not feeling anything. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for your faithfulness to your word. Praise you for your faithfulness to your word and your will in my life. Thank you, Father God, that your word is working mighty. You hadn't felt a thing. You hadn't seen a thing, but you offer sacrifice. Hallelujah. The fifth one is the next verse. Do not forget to do good and to share, for such sacrifices God is well pleased. For what sacrifice? Well, he's pleased with and he likes us doing good. Now, we've defined good because Jesus said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So what does good mean? Good means being useful, beneficial to others. Now, some people think we are good because we're talented or gifted, smart, intelligent. But that's not the biblical New Testament theme of goodness. Good means I'm a do-gooder, and I'm a be-gooder to others. Praise God. I'm a beneficial, a blessing, and I build up others. So somebody sees you coming and says, "Woo, that person sure is good." Why? Because they've been blessed by you. They've been benefited by being around you or serving with you. They've been built up when you come around. Praise God. Praise God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So doing good and then sharing to those in need. You know, one of the things that fear does is makes everybody panic and paralyzed in reaching out or giving outside of their own comfort zone. Now, I always say giving out of your comfort zone, so there's always somebody worse off than you. That's why we as a church cannot just keep all the money that comes in. And nor should you. You should not keep all the money that comes into your house. Yes, we return the tithe, but we got to give to those in need. That means you got to be stepping into the offering pool. And sometimes that offering pool means giving and knowing that person can't give back to you or that organization can't do nothing for you, but you're just being a blessing. Amen. And it says giving to the poor in this context or those that are in need, those the people that are hungry, those people that are hurting, those people that are homeless, those people that are helpless. God said that's a sacrifice that's well-pleasing to him. I know we are all so busy, but when's the last time you've taken somebody who's dealing with food challenges or grocery challenges to lunch? You know, some of us have stepped out and sacrificed buying people's groceries. God loves that stuff. God's pleased with that stuff. You got to take your eyes off your bank balance so much and look at other people in need. Are y'all here this morning? You got to look at other people in need. Praise God. sacrifices like that, God's are well pleased. Look at what John 15:13 says. Jesus said this: there's no greater love than a man lay down one's life for his friends. Now, we saw the video with the people laying down their lives for our freedoms. But Jesus says there's no greater love that you can express that you lay down your life for your friends. He didn't say family, because most people are pretty loyal to their family. They're committed to their own children, their own family, their own, relatives in that regard. And family's a big deal. It is a big deal. But he's saying you don't have a great love when you just lay down your life for your family. He said no greater love has no man than this, than one lay down his life for his friends. Friends is a covenant term. Friends, in some of the old English Bibles, used to be capitalized. That means we're a friend in covenant. We're in fellowship. We're in friendship. We're in covenant partnership. That means what? The church family. That people may be difficult, people that may be different than you, you lay down your life for the faith friends in your faith family. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. How do you measure your love? How much do you sacrifice for your faith family? How much do you lay down your life for others? Hallelujah. So this is a big summary statement Jesus is making about sacrifice. The Lord showed us sacrificial and selfless love. He's calling us to sacrificial, unconditional, and selfish love toward others. You know, people dismiss, and some people go to the four winds. They're going to do what they want to do. Not one thought sometimes comes about somebody else. Not one invitation that reaches out and says, let's do lunch. Let's get together. Everybody knows you're busy. Everybody knows I'm busy. But who's stepping out and saying, hey, I'm going to sacrifice some of my time to serve you, to be a blessing to you, to minister to you? Praise the Lord. Even those that may be different than you or difficult to you, because I know everybody's got their idiosyncrasies and fickleness. And some people, I just don't want to be bothered. Well, you need to get saved again. Come on now, you need to repent. Hallelujah. As born again believers and as Christ followers, we lose the right to just think about and pray for ourselves. This Memorial Day weekend, I want you to think about the central topic of Christian belief: sacrifice. One of the core reasons we're saved is to serve. And we serve from a posture of sacrifice. I'm going to give you, Lord, as much time as you need me to give you and to give others. I'm going to sacrifice my time, my talents, my treasure, my testimony. I was in a insurance appointment yesterday, and there was a couple that was engaged or espoused to be married, and she was wanting some more insurance or whatever, some what we call health benefit products and things of that nature. And so we're doing the deal, and I'm just praying in the Holy Spirit as I'm going and believing God, praying for them. I never met her fiance. And so I get in the house, it's crowded, kids all over the place, four kids. And, of course, it's hot out. And they had a babysitter watching the kids so they can pay attention. And we go through the whole deal. You know, she bought a couple of policies and stuff. It was great. Dealt with her fiance, who flew in town. He was out of town. And he was so blessed by us serving his fiance that he said, that we were getting ready to pack up. I'm packing up my computer and all that stuff. And he said, Pastor, before you leave, can you pray for us? Can you bless us? Well, see, that's what I sacrificed, getting up early and praying for them. All the way there, Lord, give me an open door. Give me an open door to speak into their heart, speak into their life. You know, because it's a sacrifice sometimes. You're driving way across town or where, long distance or whatever. And I got up, and then the lady that was watching the kids came over and said, I want to get into prayer too. And the agent I was training stood up, and they ready to pray. So I just prayed from my heart. And the sweet fragrance and presence of God came in the house. Somebody said, glory to God. You got to lay it down your life. And they said, oh, that's so beautiful. That's so blessed. And I said, well, I do marriage counseling. He said, well, I might have to just fly back in town. And they talked about coming to the church. Praise God. Isn't that beautiful? Planting a seed. Showing the testimony of Christ. Sharing your faith in Christ. Praise God. I mean, it's been happening just about every week, just about. Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise God. Will the memorial and memory of your life, dear friends, and your legacy be marked by sacrifice? You know, I've been observant of funerals. I do funerals. I've been at funerals. I've been asked to come and speak at funerals ever since I've been in the ministry, just about. And it was unfortunate one time. It was hard for any family member to say anything good about this person. Now, this person made a lot of money, was very successful in their career, but nobody said anything. Their record was not a memorial of sacrifice. Because, see, most autobiographies, I think Dr. Donetta would agree with me on this, most autobiographies are best-selling because of their contributions, what they gave to society, what they gave to their generation. Not what they got. That man at that funeral had a large house, lots of cars, lots of money. But nobody said nothing. Nothing. About how good he was. How much a blessing he was. What will our memorial and memory of our life and legacy be like? What will be marked as? Hallelujah. Now let's wrap this up with service, a call to serve. In the book of Matthew, Gospel of Matthew, Jesus gives us this beautiful, profound teaching. Many people call it the Beatitudes. And it is the attitude of service that we all should embrace, but it gives us some very powerful lessons in this. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, it says, and seeing the multitudes, he went up to a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, and he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for theirs they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Praise the Lord. Hold on just a second. So, what we see here is our Lord describes in details that serving is fully committed to following him. You got to have the right attitude and the right actions. I equate this to a call to kingdom service. Our Lord didn't just call us to sit or slip back into the world, but he saved us to serve. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So we have a responsibility to serve with the right heart. So Jesus, our Lord, teaches us through these verses that we just read, referred to as the Beatitudes, that serving and following him means examining your heart. We saw the soldiers on the video. I'd venture to say none of them deployed into war and wanted to die, but they were willing to sacrifice, and they were willing to serve their country, knowing that it could cost me my life. And we as Christians should examine our hearts, knowing that it's going to require sacrifice, and sometimes serving, we're going to go through some challenges. Amen. So the eight characteristics, I'll give it to you up front, that Jesus laid out. Let's list them here. The humble. Number two, the hurting. Number three, the harnessed. Number four, the hungry. Number five, the helpers. Number six, the holy. Number seven, the healers. Number eight, the harassed. Now, these are principles of loving, faithful service that we should practice. First, our heart towards God. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Serving is an inside issue. In other words, serving God and others is more heart than habit. You know, I was in a meeting with the Connection and Care team just overhearing, and that's what it's about. It's not becoming habit as much as it is having a heart. Amen. It's not about what you have, but it's about who has your heart. I could be sweeping, standing outside, shaking hands. And if I have the wrong heart, but the right habit, it's still not blessed. Or not a blessing to anyone. I could be pushing knobs on the sound system and the mixer board and have the right habits but have the wrong heart. And it's still not blessed. I could be singing behind the microphone, lifting praise and perfect tones and chords to God and have the right habits but have the wrong heart. Secondly, our heart towards life. Blessed are those who mourn. You know, we said it Wednesday night. I'll say it again. You know, it's tragic what happened in Uvalde. We need to remember those victims in our prayers. It's very tragic. We wish no other school shooting has happened, but unfortunately they've happened. And we're very saddened by that. The Bible says for us to weep with those that weep and mourn with those that mourn. That means what saddens God should sadden us. Are you listening to me? But also what should sadden us is the political maneuvering trying to perpetrate the gun lobby and the Second Amendment as something that needs to be redacted or retracted from the Constitution. That should sadden us that they want to take the freedoms away from religious freedoms, freedom of speech, or to cancel us out. Should sadden us that they want to take right to bear arms out from our religious liberties and our civil liberties as Christians. Are you listening to me? It should really sadden us that 2,700 babies pre-born are not born alive, but aborted. Yes, we lost 19 or so in Uvalde, but we lost 2,700 that day. Every day. Hallelujah. God's mourning over all those babies. I don't call them unborn. I call them preborn because the conception is the beginning of life. Hallelujah. It's not just a fetus, an amoeba, just some substance that could just be flushed down the toilet. It's a life. Are you listening to me today? Blessed are those that mourn. Servants of God must not be so insulated or isolated in life. That's why we send out the news to pray for this, pray for that, pray for what's going on in Ukraine, pray for these situations that come up. Why? Because we got to mourn when other people are mourning. Hallelujah. Serving happens outside of our comfort zone. We are to be touched by life. We are to be add Christ-like color and flavor to the life around us. Number three, our hearts toward growth. Verse number six, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Who's hungry? Are you staying hungry? Hallelujah. Serving should result in us never being totally satisfied. We always say yesterday's excellence becomes tomorrow's mediocrity. We have to stay excellent in the routine and mundane and ordinary of life. Every day we read our Bible. Every day we pray. Every day we go into the Holy Spirit and pray in tongues. Every day we call on the name of the Lord. Praise God. Every day we release faith from our heart through our own lips. Praise God. Our heart towards growth should be every day I exercise my faith muscles, I exercise my love walk and my honor walk. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We should maintain a productive discontent. In other words, today's excellence will be tomorrow's mediocrity. We must step up and increase our serving to the next level. Why? Because there's more. Our sister said it this morning when she was speaking by the Spirit of God. There's more levels. There's more victories. There's more blessings. There's more triumph to attain for God and to the glory and honor of God. Are you listening to me today? Some people stay at the first level of serving. I call it the first level, the survival level. It's always where your struggle is real and you're really intense. You're never faithful in your position. You come late. You come unprepared. You come not prayed up. You hadn't been in the Word. That's survival level. Are you listening to me? Amen. I got before I cook barbecue, I got to make sure I cook it real good in church. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Not that I'm cooking barbecue today, so I'm just letting you know. Amen. You only self-serve at this level. Yeah, I can serve then, but I can't serve here. I can make it by then, but I'm always running in last minute, late. Always getting up late. I'm never prepared to serve. Now, the progression should always be I show up. Then I show up, keep showing up, and I show up on time. And then I show up early. Then I start showing up early and prepared. Come on now. Praise God. And I keep showing up early and prepared. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And at every opportunity, I thank God for the privilege and opportunity to do one thing for God, to minister to one person for God. Somebody say, glory to God. Hallelujah. The second level of serving is success level. We all should be growing to the successful. This is about what happens to you. Happens to you that now I'm a man or woman in Christ who's anointed and ready to go. I'm stirred up in my giftedness. I'm stirred up in the calling of God. I'm fully persuaded of the eternal importance and the eternal impact that I can make. Even if I'm ministering to the kids, if I'm ministering in the ministry helps somewhere, praise God, I am stirred up and fired up to stand in my office and assignment of ministry. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And the number three level is significant level. See, number two, success level is about what happens to you. Significance level is about what happens through you. That means you come in saying, I'm blessed to be a blessing. I'm here to help. I'm here to learn. I'm not here to judge. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I go in thinking those two questions, who do I help and what do I learn? So I leave here making a difference, even if it's only in one person's life. I made a difference. I became significant, a significant blessing, and made a significant impact on someone else. Well, I'm preaching good today. Praise God. Hallelujah. Number five, our heart towards others. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful. You know, it's bad when you come in and you're not here to learn, submit, commit, serve. You're here to judge. You got to come in with mercy all over you. You need to be dripping every. God said in his word, his mercies are new every morning. So we need to be getting that cereal bowl of mercy and just chomping it down. The milk of mercy should be dripping off our chin. Because we don't see people as, I don't want to talk to them. I don't want to say hi to them. I don't want to greet them. I don't even want to look them in the eye. It is you looking at people through the lens of mercy. Mercy is said, I'm giving them more than what they may deserve. I'm giving them my best greeting. I'm giving them my best smile. I'm giving them my best service. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So it's plant serving plants the right seeds. We serve. We live lives to change the future. You say this when you walk in. Change starts with me. Transformation starts with me. Amen. Number six. Our heart towards things, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart. Serving, loving God is a mirror. Things around you in life are a clear reflection of the real you. Your heart always eventually speaks louder than your words. How do you treat the word? How do you treat the preaching and teaching the word? Blessed are the pure in heart. Number seven. Excuse me. Our heart toward relationships. Verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, we as servants are to be bridge builders. In our serving, Jesus, our Lord, asks us to make genuine relationships a priority. You know, I can never understand when people just come to church to be by themselves or do their own thing and go. That's religion. That's not righteousness. That's not relationships. That's rules and regimen. We got to walk slowly across the aisle. That's why we have go around and greet one another. You ought to be looking in saying, Holy Spirit, who do I need to greet that I hadn't seen in a while? And that means you don't just sit there and wait till they come to you. You get up off your blessed assurance and say, good to see you, brother. I hadn't seen, let me give you a hug. Let me give you a high five. Come on now. Come on. Let me give you a fist dap. You come with excited reverence. Hallelujah. Number 8, your heart towards problems. Jesus said right up front, they're going to revile you. They're going to persecute you. They're going to say kinds of evil things for you. Why are you going to church? Why you want me to come to church? Your life all tore up from the flow up. Why you want me to come to church? You want me to be like you? And they might say something ugly. They might talk real bad about you. But he said you're blessed when you have the right heart towards problems, towards pain, towards persecution. Hallelujah. So when we get short shot at, which you will, in other words, doing ministry or serving, you'll get hit, and sometimes you'll get bit. And occasionally you'll get hurt. You got to walk in instant forgiveness and unconditional love. Somebody say, glory to God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now listen, I'm getting ready to close with these keys. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 20, verse 20 through 28. It says here, he said, then the mother of Zebedee came to him with his sons, kneeling down and asking him. And he said to her, what do you wish? Now, again, this is someone coming with an ulterior motive. And he looked right through her. He said, what do you want? Because he worship moves God, but it doesn't manipulate God. Now, some people can talk loud, be loud, shout loud, but their heart is lousy. Oh, my goodness. Praise God. Amen. Because it's all about them being seen, not being God being seen. And he said to her, what do you wish? And she said, grant that these my sons may sit right on your right hand and one on your left in your kingdom. And Jesus answered and said, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink and be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with? And they said to him, we are able. So he said to them, You will indeed drink the cup and be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and my left is not mine to give, but is for those to whom it is prepared by my Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were greatly displeased. And the two brothers, with the two brothers, but Jesus called them and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to become first among you, let him be your slave. For just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Many of us are familiar with JFK's famous statement, ask not your country what it can do for you. Now, again, today they lost that statement because they're asking the government to do everything for them. Give me a handout, give me a stimulus, give me a check, give me this, give me that. And so everybody's wanting, and, you know, we got crazy stuff going on. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But so we ask not your church what it could do for you, but ask what you can do for your church. Now, he uses two significant words. He uses servant, and he uses the word slave. A servant is the Greek word that means to run on errands, to be an attendant, a waiter at tables or other menial duties, to minister. It means deacon, or it means one who executes the commands of another. That's not self-service. That's serving someone else. Who do I serve? Who do I help? What do I learn? Amen. Then he goes deeper and says slave, which is a slave, a bondservant, one who gives himself up to another's will. Those whose service will be used by Christ in extending and advancing his cause among men. It means also devoted to one another to the disregard of one's own interests. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So greatness is serving. Jesus said it again in John 13:14. If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you shall also wash one another's feet. So as I'm closing with this thought, I'm going to give you five keys to think about as we close. Thank you for listening very attentively today. Y'all get something out of this today? People who submit and surrender to kingdom service, they lift people. They love people. They add value to people. So the big question is, I'm going to work on this, add value. Am I adding value to people to whom I'm around, or am I wanting people to add value to me? See, before a servant lifts a person, he or she must first find the person. Who do I help? What do I learn? Everything worthwhile, as someone said, is uphill. Life is not easy. You think it was easy for those guys to get killed in combat, Vietnam, wars, Iraq, Afghanistan? Traumatic. They sacrificed their life. Everything worthwhile, freedom is not free. Everything worthwhile is uphill. Everything we have in life that is precious and priceless is uphill. Unfortunately, people have uphill hopes, but downhill habits. Now, here's the key. Every day I must intentionally add value to people. This is the call to Christian sacrifice and service. Every day I intentionally add value to people. People typically ask three questions when you come into their sphere of influence. Do you like me? That's compassion. Can you help me? That's competence. Can I trust you? That's character. Selfishness and significance, the level of serving significantly, are incompatible. You can't be selfish and significant. You have to be selfless. Amen. Most people don't lead their life. They accept their life. And when people accept their life, it is unintentional. Valuing people means I focus on connecting and not correcting people. Are you a people connector? If I value people, I spend time being a connector and not just a corrector. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Upfront thinking is what serving requires. Upfront thinking is different than back-end thinking. So if I just come to church to sit, I'm back-end thinking. Well, I'm not on schedule. I'm just going to come and sit. And then I don't be bothered. So I turn my service off and on based on the schedule. That's back-end thinking. But upfront thinking is I'm coming to help somebody. I'm coming to learn something. Somebody say, praise God. See, I got to work this because this is a call to sacrifice and service, which is a big need today in the church. Because so many people are sitting and so many people are staying home. Are you listening to me? So, upfront thinking is preparing. Back-end thinking is repairing. Preparing, man, I walk through the door and say, here I am. I'm here to bless you. I'm here to build you up. I'm here to build and bless and benefit the church. Somebody say, glory to God. Key number two, you intentionally think of ways to add value to people. I want you to start doing that. Every day, key number three, every day you look for ways to add value to people. Where you're in the marketplace, the movie theater, you're at your work, your place of business, you're just out in the public somewhere. Add value to people. Number four. Well, let me add this to number three. When you become an added value liver, you become an added value looker. Now, here's the difference, practically speaking. Some people go through the store and they don't look at nobody else. They don't want to be around nobody else. And some people still wearing masks. That's okay. But they don't want to be bothered with anybody else. They don't want to talk to anybody else. You're added. You're not a looker. Therefore, you won't be a liver. You got to look for opportunities to serve somebody else, to add value to somebody else. Don't just come in and say hi and then sit. Look. Look inside. Look outside. Amen. Number four, every day you do it, add value. And I'm telling you, my little small insurance business testimonies, but I'm looking. I want you looking. Hallelujah. And every day I encourage others to add value to people. So I did that today. Praise God. Stand to your feet. Please, thank you. Thank you for your time today. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name. Glorify your name, Lord. Let each and every heart receive this call as a Christian to sacrifice and to service.